This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Okay, so the piece of Nefesh HaChaim that we're doing, for those of you who've got a text, is Sha'ar Beis, the second section, Perek Dalet, Perek 4. Okay. The last Nefesh HaChaim shiur we had was just short of a year ago. And we did Perek Aleph Beis and Gimel of Sha'ar Beis. So now I'll pick up some of the themes from Perek Beis, from Perek Gimel, and move into Perek Dalet. Again, quite difficult stuff, but difficult from a different, just from a completely different perspective. The Nefesh HaChaim is speaking about the idea of a brocha. What does it mean? Firstly, when we say, when we make a brocha to Hashem, how do we bless Hashem? Hashem needs our brocha. What is a brocha? And secondly, the language of the brocha, where in the last year we made the we noted the grammatical inconsistency. We start off in second person, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Lekeinu Melech HaOlam, and then we twist into third person, Asher Kiddushon, he who has instructed us to do the mitzvahs or whatever. So in the middle of the bracha, we switch from second person to third person, and the B'chaim Volozhiner talks about that. And he explains that there are two parts to Hashem, and an infinite number of, well, in the sense there are no parts to Hashem, is one. But there are two aspects that we need to understand. The one is, there's an aspect of Hashem that is absolutely non-definable. Because, he says, Hashem preceded definition. Hashem was there before there was concept, he was there before there were words, he was there before there were any kinds of images. So any attempt to fit the Hashem into an image of any form must be flawed, because how can we understand a being who was there before there was even the concept of form? How can we understand him in any form? So there's that aspect of Hashem which is beyond our ability to describe, to term, to give a name to, a picture in our minds to, anything to. That's the one part of Hashem. Yeah, kind of. For Hashem. That's the only word we've got to use it. And the second part of Hashem is Hashem as we experience Him. So when He says, when Moshe said, I want to see you, I want to, and Hashem says, seeing means image. Seeing means something that you can visualize. How can you see me? Eye Asher Eye, all you can term and describe and relate to is the experience you have of me. So there is an essence of Hashem which we can't describe, but we can describe our experiences of Hashem. And we can talk about Rachamim, and we can talk about Din, and we can talk about all sorts of experiences that we've got. We can feel Hashem, we can experience Hashem, and we can describe that feeling, and we can describe that experience. Those are the two parts of Hashem. And Hashem chose to be engaged in the world. If He didn't choose to be engaged in the world, we would only have the one part of Hashem, we wouldn't experience Him. So Hashem chose to allow us to experience Him, which opened us to the second part of Hashem. And therefore in the bracha we use both parts. Baruch Atah Hashem, you Hashem. So now we're talking at Him, if we can see Him. That's the Hashem that we experience. You Hashem, I feel you, I experience you, I'm talking to you. There's an intimacy with Hashem. That's the part of Hashem. Bracha works with that part, and he's going to explain how. Baruch Atah Hashem, the Hashem that I can say you to, is the part that Bracha applies to. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kiddushonu. Then we start moving into the source of the mitzvahs. Who obligated us to do the mitzvahs? That's the Hashem that precedes any kind of form. So in our Bracha, we relate to the two parts of Hashem, to the two aspects of Hashem. The aspect of Hashem which is non-definable, and the aspect of Hashem which we can experience, which we can feel. And now in Perek Dalet, he takes this idea further. The ta'amo shel dovar shenichlal b'chol brocha beis ha'bechinus hanal. And the reason that in every brocha we have these two aspects is ki yesoid pinas emunusein ha'kedusho. It is a cornerstone of our holy belief. Shekol megamas kavonas libeinu b'chol ha'brochus v'atfidus v'akoshus. that all of our intentions in all of our brachas and davenings, achrat liyichidu shel olam, is just to the essence of Hashem, Adon Yochid and Tzorif Baruch Hu, the individual master and the infinite one. Omnam lo she'anu medabrim elav kibiyochol al atzmuso yisborach levad. However, we're not referring only to that essence of God, we're not talking to God in davening as the God who is separate from all the worlds, the God who preceded all the worlds, the God who cannot be conceived or comprehended by all the worlds. Just as he was before the creation. So this kind of God before the creation and God after the creation. Not that he changed, but our capacity to access him changed. After the creation, we could access God through human experience. It's an amazing concept, that we can access God through human experience. Before the creation, of course, that wasn't possible, not just because they weren't human beings, but because God had not engaged in any world to allow that to happen. But after the Bria, not only did he create a world, but he created in the world the capacity to access him through feeling. If that were the case, how could we even call him by a name? If we were relating to him as that being which was before the Bria, we can't use a name. You can't talk to him, you can't refer to him, you can't say Atah, you can't say you. Because you implies, I see you, I feel you, I relate to you. We wouldn't be able to relate to that part of God. So there's a part of God that is just beyond it. And furthermore, if God hadn't demonstrated to us that he wants to engage, to attach himself to the worlds, and to rule over the world according to man's deeds, if God didn't show us that that's what he wanted, how could we pray to him and say, take care of us, give us rain? What would it have to do with him? What kind of chutzpah would we have to talk to that aspect of God about our needs when we have no indication that he's interested in our needs? That's why we say, you Hashem, before we make a bracha, perush. You wanted to create the world. It was your desire. And you wanted to engage with the world and attach yourself to the world. And to rule over the world. Therefore, since you've told us that's your choice, we want you to do that with bracha. And you remember we discussed, those of you who were there at the last shir, what that idea of bracha means, bracha from the word brecha, a reservoir of untold energy that we can tap if we are able to access Hashem. That's what bracha is. Bracha is to allow us access to a reservoir of untold, of unlimited energy. He goes further, he says, you know, without Hashem wanting to attach himself to the world, there would be no place for the Torah and mitzvahs. And that's what it says in Eos, in Chatasa Matif Alboy. What do you think? If you sin, you're damaging God. What does God care? In Tzadakta Matif Inloy, if you're a tzaddik, are you giving God anything? Or Mami Yad Chiyikach, what's he going to take from you? So we have actually paradoxes in the Torah, in Tanakh as well as in Chazal, some implying that God gets nothing out of what we do or don't do. He's perfect. What difference does it make to him? We can't take anything from him. We can't give him anything. And some which imply that we do give God something and we take from him when we don't. How do we resolve it? So he says, if God hadn't chosen to engage in the world, then he would have no benefit from us. Because that essential part of God that existed before the Bria, before the creation, that's not damaged by our deeds, and that's not enhanced by our deeds. It's not touched by our deeds. So that part of God we can't access. We can't do anything, we can't damage it, we can't enhance it. And that's what the Chazal say in Bereishis Rabbah. Imras Hashem Tzurufa, Hashem's words are Tzurufa, pure. Omar Rav, what does that mean? Lo nitno amitzvus elo tzaref bohem sabriyas. The mitzvahs were given to refine humanity. They weren't given for God, they were given for us. The Medrash goes on to say, do you think God makes a difference to God if you shecht an animal at the neck or at the back, by the spinal column? If you break its spine or you cut its neck, does that make a difference to God? So what that's talking about is God's essence. It makes no difference to God's essence. The reason we're given the mitzvahs is to refine ourselves. But he goes on to explain. Therefore, all the intentions of our brachos and tefillos, tzorech shetiyeh la'atzmus and tzorech baruch hu mitzad hitchabro kirtzonei yitzbarach el ha'olam. We're davening to that essential God, of course, but to the aspect of God that chose to engage with us. So there's an energy that comes to us. That's what we're relating to. Shemitzidom hem kol ha'ta'orim v'ashem es mischalfim. That's where you find all the names of God. We want to open the channels of impact of God's energy to our souls. That's what we're doing in the brachas. So we're not adding to the essence of God, but we're allowing better access to God's energies by opening those channels. The way each of us act and do in Bechesed, in Bemishpat, in Betzadotli, in Berachalim, the way we act is going to impact those channels. And this which Chazal said, Shiloh nitno ha-mitzvahs ela letzaref bohem ha-briyas, that the mitzvahs were only given to purify the briyas, ha-inish yitzorech odol hem letzaref ul-zakek. It's true that through the mitzvahs we refine and we purify the world and ourselves. That's correct. The gamken b'mashma, but the word letzaref means something else. What does the word letzaref mean? To join. Right? To join. To attach. So now let's reread the Medrash. What does it say? Lo nitna mitzvahs ela letzaref bohem es habriyos. To attach the creations. Haynu lechaber ulekasher kol hakoyches v'ha'elomus habruyim v'tukonim v'mesudorim kipi akavono v'haratzon ha'elyon baruch hu. That's to attach. It's like connecting all the wires. So we've got this incredible machine, and we've got a source of energy, we've got a source of electricity, but if they're not attached, nothing flows through. That's what we do with brachos and with tefillah. We create the connections. We create the contacts of all the different wires that make the whole circuit complete and enable the energy to flow through the briya. That's what we're doing. We're adding nothing to Hashem. We're adding to Hashem. It's like, again, when you turn on the light, you're not creating electricity. The electricity is there before, but the electricity does nothing in the room until you turn the light on. Davening and brachos is turning the lights on. The energy is there, but through the davening of the bracha, we can turn the lights on. That's what we mean when we're talking about a bracha for Hashem. What does it mean? Perishohu to sefes v'ribui. That means abundance. Shezer v'tzoni yisroat mitam komis yisroat yisroat. That's because Hashem made a choice, for whatever reason. That we, through our brachos and davening, will prepare the conditions for Hashem's abundance. And here we have a crucial concept in our relationship to Hashem and in our relationship to one another. And that is, we often think that things start off with abundant generosity, and then there's reciprocation, and then there's a response to that abundance. But we understand here there's a different concept. There's such a concept as abundance being generated by creating the conditions for it. So imagine you've got a huge dam or a lake full of water, but it's low, and the farmlands are above it. You've got the lake, but there's going to be a drought. The water's not going to get to the farmlands. Unless you're able to create a flow, either to pump the water out or to create conditions where the water can flow. So the water's all there. You don't have to create the water, but you do have to create the conditions in which the water can flow. And we have the same things among human beings. Sometimes people aren't giving because they're just not giving people. They close up. They're not generous people. But sometimes they are generous people. They just need the conditions in which to be able to give. And we find that even when it comes to tzedakah, you'll find sometimes a person has never given. All of a sudden, he finds something he becomes passionate about, And all of a sudden he's giving, and he's giving, and he's giving. He says, nobody even knew he was so wealthy. And he's giving. Where's it all coming from? Somebody created the conditions to appeal to that to make that generosity possible. It's almost a male-female component. In the male-female component, I'm not talking about a man and a woman specifically, I'm talking about the male energy and the female energy. The male energy is the giving force. The female energy is the energy which creates the conditions for the male to give. If the female energy isn't there, if the conditions to give aren't there, the giving isn't there, because it's like the polarity of electricity. You need a positive and a negative. You need something, what we call a base kibble. You need a receptacle. If there isn't a base kibble, it doesn't happen. I remember with the miracle of the oil and Elisha, what happened? What was the requirement? Kalim. Bring the kalim and the oil won't stop. The moment the kalim run out, the oil will stop. That's the principle. When there are no kalim, the flow stops. When there are kalim, the flow is abundant. And we've got to be kalim. We've got to be open. We've got to be receptive. If we would open ourselves to bracha, you can't imagine how much bracha we would get. But we walk around too closed. We don't make ourselves the conditions for Hashem's giving and for one another's. If we would open ourselves to each other's generosity, the generosity would come. And we walk around very closed. And it applies in our body language, it applies in our verbal language, it applies in the fences we put up around ourselves, in the ways we try to make ourselves secure by protecting ourselves, we land up closing ourselves off from sources of bracha from other people. And so it is with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The art of tefillah and bracha is to open ourselves, just to create kalim. To make sure that we understand that we're caring, we're ready for it, we're open for it, we're appreciative of it. It's very difficult to give into a closed environment. Once the delightful story of a Rosa was talking to a congregation of people who were all asleep. But you can imagine what that feels like. It doesn't feel so good. And with an audience, with any performing artist, the audience can bring the brilliance out of an artist. If there's audience response, if there's a receptiveness, they rise to the occasion. They become brilliant. And if the audience is dull and non-receptive, they don't. The giving is not a function of how much there is in the reservoir. There's unlimited amounts of energy, not only in the divine reservoir, but also in every human reservoir. We touched on that in the last year. Every human being, because of their attachment to the divine, has infinite resources and infinite energy. The only thing that stops it is the conditions for the giving. Create the conditions for the giving, and the giving just flows, the giving just comes. And those conditions are appreciation. It's part of what a bracha is, showing the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciation. When do we make the bracha? Before. We show that we don't. Benching is showing appreciation afterwards. That's a different thing. But bracha is to show appreciation before. Why do you have to show appreciation before? What happens when the artist walks onto the stage?
Clap.
They clap. What are they clapping for? You haven't done anything yet. Why are they clapping? What are they? They're saying, we appreciate you, we value you, we want to hear you, and we're clapping even before you start. You can imagine what we're going to do when you're finished. That's what the audience is saying. And that gets them going. That's very important. That energy is very important. It tells when there's a base kibble. It tells when there's somebody out there ready, waiting, wanting. If that isn't there, it's impossible. It's very, very difficult for them to do. And so that's the idea in bracha, says the Nefesh HaChaim. It's not about blessing Hashem. It's about understanding that Hashem made a choice that he wants to be engaged in the world. He wants to give his source of energy to the world. He wants to bless the world. But he requires us to take the first step. He requires us to open the channels, and bracha and tefillah are the means that we do that.